Hey everybody, here we are at long last.
Yeah.
We haven't seen you guys since last Wednesday. Other than me like uploading some videos, but you know.
Yeah, lost internet for a while. We've also been pretty sick.
Yeah, now I've got it.
Yeah.
But hopefully it won't be as bad as yours.
Yeah.
Moleface Pillow Biter said today's my birthday. Okay, well happy birthday, Moleface Pillow Biter. but yeah. So, Tom's still kind of sick. I'm just got it, too. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, our internet was out from, like, Friday at 5 p.m. until, like, yesterday mid-morning. So, we couldn't get a lot of shit done, obviously. CB says that I look gorgeous. Thank you very much. I sometimes forget that I have this wig. I think this is only, like, the second time I've worn it. But, yeah. So, you all right back there, Tom?
I'm not feeling that good. Let's just, I want to get this show over.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm just...
Okay, so, this is a movie. I don't know. I feel like this movie's kind of a little bit obscure if you're not in the goth subculture. You know what I mean? And maybe even, like, you know, younger people in the goth subculture haven't heard of it. But I kind of feel like it was one that a lot of people of our age watched, like, back in the day. The weird thing about it is that when I looked it up, because I said, ooh, they have it for free on Tubi, and we should totally review that, because I hadn't seen it for, like, 20 years. And Tom was, like, insistent. He's like, that can't be from 2001. He's like, yeah. I'm sure I saw that in the 90s.
Yeah,
and I kind of thought the same thing, too. But everywhere I look said the movie came out in 2001, so I guess we're just, like, remembering it wrong. But, yeah, I thought it was older than that.
The reason why my dates might be wrong, I don't know, but I am kind of indirectly connected to this movie. One of the characters in this movie, a kid named Clive, that character named Clive, was friends with my ex-wife, or the guy who... that character is based on.
Yeah, not
the actual guy. But that character was based on a guy that my ex-wife was friends with, that she had been pen pals with him for a few years. And whoever produced and directed this movie also knew him.
Yeah.
And he was just this ultra goth little gay dude. You know, he was pretty young, I remember. I don't think he was actually 18. I think he was a little
bit older. In the movie, the character's 18.
The movie's 18. I think in real life he's a little bit older than that. But he was living out in the middle of nowhere, like Ohio or something. And they wrote for a long time. And a strange thing about it, though, is that eventually the real character, not the character in the movie, but in real life, that guy took his own life eventually. It was kind of sad. Yeah. But I didn't know him. I didn't know the guy. My ex knew him.
Yeah. Yeah, this, I feel like this movie, it was so interesting to, like, watch it again, because, like I said, I haven't seen it in such a long time. And I think this is, when this came out in 2001, even though, you know, I'd been into goth shit since, like, the 80s, but you didn't really see a lot of goth characters in movies. And if you did, they got it wrong, or they were portrayed as villains, or something, you know what I mean?
They were just it's like something out of The Crow. You know what I mean? Where the characters kind of look like that, you know, but just,
right.
It didn't really explain the culture that, you know, that much.
But this movie was actually very accurate to what it was like, particularly for goths, like, growing up in small towns where there weren't a lot of us.
Yeah, in the 90s.
And just the way that the shit that they did, and, like, the way that they hung out, and, like, the clothes that they wore, and the way that they talked to one another was, like, really accurate. So I was, like, watching it again. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is, like, bringing back all these memories, like, from back then.
And the type of people they were, and how they kind of lived, and the home situation's pretty accurate in this, and how they interacted with each other, and the shit that happened to them. This is a road trip movie.
Yeah.
It's about this cute, kind of full-figured goth chick who's a 25 with her little 18-year-old gay boyfriend. They're just friends, you know.
Yeah.
And they go on this road trip adventure to go to New York to enter, like, a goth Stevie Nicks fucking
Night of a Thousand Stevies.
Impersonator's Night.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do it, but they did it at like drag clubs in New York City for a long time.
Yeah.
Where people would show up in the best, the person that looked the most like Stevie Nicks and sounded the most like Stevie Nicks, like you won. You know what I mean? So that's a real thing.
Well, she goes by the name of Gypsy 83, and she's like a Stevie Nicks fucking fan, you know?
Yeah.
Like a free, and she dresses in kind of like a mixture of goth clothes and Stevie Nicks inspired stuff, you know? And
which some goths did. That was the kind of flowy.
Kind of looked like that sometimes. Certain times, yeah. Although Stevie Nicks really was not a goth icon. But maybe I could understand how some goths might be fans.
Yeah. It's not that weird.
Yeah. It's kind of adjacent, you know. And then Clive, her buddy, was kind of more like a Robert Smith type guy. An updated Robert Smith type goth dude.
The kid that plays Clive in this, the actor's name is Cat Turton. That kid is darling. He's adorable.
They both really pull off the goth persona for that time. Yeah, that's the way goths were.
I mean, I didn't really get the feeling that they were... I got the feeling that they were kind of like that in real life.
Or knew
people like that in real life, you know what I mean? Because, like, the interaction between them, and it's like, they didn't really seem like they were playing characters. Yeah. They kind of seemed like they were just kind of being themselves, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, when they finally get to New York, they get to the club, there's a lot of over-the-top goth fucking characters in there that, they look accurate for the time.
For that era, yeah.
But it's over the top. It's over the top behavior. But, I don't know, we just probably want to get about, you know, mostly focused, I guess, on the story of the movie and kind of what it meant. We recommend it. It's a good flick.
I think that, like I said, I kind of feel like if you grew up in the goth subculture, you'll probably get a lot more out of it. But even if not, I think anybody can relate to just being a misfit and not fitting in.
It was ahead of its time.
Oh, big time.
Kind of ahead. The movie was kind of ahead of its time.
Big time.
And it wasn't, it never really caught on. It was never really, I don't think, a commercial success.
No, absolutely not.
People in the scene knew of it. And I don't know if the younger goths know about it, but the older ones do.
Because it seems like it sort of fell between the cracks. I was looking for other reviews of it on YouTube, and the only two other reviews that I found of it were like channels that had like 500 subscribers.
We also watched some other goth movies.
Yeah,
one of them from 2018, which was okay. That had a friend of mine was in it also, or involved in this seamstress named Cambrielle from Salem, who's somebody I knew from when I was hanging out with Man Ray. And that one was okay, but it was not as good as...
Yeah, it didn't...
So this is one of the better goth movies.
It seems like... Well, because, like I said, I think it's the most accurate to just, like, goths on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, especially during that era, like I said, it's mainly 90s, because I feel like a lot of the music in this... There's some Cure in it. I think Just Like Heaven is in there, and I think Doing the Unstuck is in there. But there's a lot of kind of 90s stuff, like A-pop and Diva Destruction and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, certain parts of the story are pretty universal. I mean, if you just... know what it's like to be young and stuck in a fucking nowhere town. That's part of the story too. She's got a black Trans Am with a big firebird on the hood, like fucking Smokey the Bandit had. She's got that.
I know, that's awesome.
They decide they're gonna go to New York in this damn gas guzzler.
And I want to mention too that there's actually some good. I don't even want to call them cameos because some of them are like bigger parts. But Gypsy's dad is played by John Doe from X, who was in a fuck ton of movies. I always liked him. I like X. They're great. But and also, Karen Black is in this.
Sexy motherfucking Karen Black is in it. Yeah.
She's great in this. Yeah. I really, really like her.
She plays
her
a washed up fucking nightclub singer.
Named Bambi.
Yeah. She was running the karaoke night at a damn... honky-tonk bar. They get sick of driving, they stop at a honky-tonk bar, and it's just they just nail honky-tonk bar. Oh, just perfect. and just how out of place they were in there.
Well, like when they were
like, why the fuck are they going into a honky tonk? They get in there and they're surprised by what they see. And I'm like, what the fuck? What, we would have never gone in there.
But I would never.
They just need to have a good scene, you know?
Yeah, of like the of the squares and weirdos like looking. It's like, ooh, look at these freaky people.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They eventually pick up some people along the way. They pick up this Amish guy.
That's like the first person they pick up.
Yeah.
He's What's his Zechariah?
Zechariah.
He's running away from the Amish.
Yeah, he's running away from the Amish. He said he's running away from cows.
Yeah, and, that too.
Yeah, he comes off as pretty cool, you know, and they goth him out. And,
yeah, like, they're gypsies, like, here, we need to,
gypsies
like...
making out with him and shit, you know. first call, I thought that he was going to make out with him, but he didn't. He went for the girl.
He did. I mean, Zechariah did kind of lead Clive on a little bit,
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah.
But,
he's probably just trying to get a ride.
Zechariah, I had forgotten about that aspect of the story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's kind of a jerk. Because he's running away from the Amish.
Yeah.
And then they goth him out. He seems nice and everything like that. And then him and Gypsy end up having a sexual encounter. This actually does have some fairly graphic, I don't know if I'd call it graphic,
no,
but I mean,
it tells you what happened.
For the time, it was kind of pushing the envelope a little bit as far as sex goes, because Clive and another guy also have an encounter. Yeah,
they get it on in the rest area.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, yeah, gross. The rest area. So unsanitary. But the bathrooms did look nice and clean, though.
Yeah,
so I will
get it off in the rest area.
It's just like, and, ew, I don't want to be having sex with somebody on the floor of a rest stop bathroom.
Yeah, and then he confessed to her that he's like, look, you know, I love you and everything, but I got to go back home. He's like, why is that? Because I'm married.
And he has a kid.
And I have a kid on the way.
Yeah, like his wife's pregnant. I'm like, you fucking asshole.
I think he got cold feet. He was trying to run, but then, you know, when he hooked up with her, it somehow kind of shocked him out of it. He realized how bad he was fucking over his wife and kid, so he decided to go back. She got pissed, kicked his ass out.
Well, I don't blame her. I'd have been pissed, too.
Now, during that whole thing, while they were at the rest area, because they were at the rest area for hours, evidently. There was a fucking camper. Like a mobile home.
Yeah.
It had a fraternity in it.
A bunch of frat bros.
Frat boys, yeah. And they had pledges. They were hazing pledges and stuff. And the guy that was doing, one of the guys who was doing all the hazing comes and hangs out with him. And he starts fucking getting sweet on fucking Clive.
On Clive, yeah.
Yeah, he makes a move on Clive.
Like I said, Clive is adorable.
Yeah, and Clive was a virgin. He gave his virgin. So they fucking hit. And after that, the dude goes back with the jocks and tries to fucking go incognito like nothing happened. And then the jocks fucking spray painted their fucking car.
Yeah.
And dude just kind of had to fucking keep his mouth shut and the fucking bus left.
And he's just like looking at him going,
ooh, I don't know.
I didn't hit that guy. Yeah, nope. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that tracks. Yeah.
See, what's funny is because like, If you hang around the goth scene long enough, you know a bunch of different kind of people. You see all kinds of fucking weird shit like that happen. Yeah, so a lot of stuff that happens.
This did not surprise me.
Yeah,
a lot
of stuff that happens in this is kind of like stuff that you've either seen yourself happen or fucking you heard about. You know, because that scene, especially at that time, was fucking pretty underground, and it was. You were always in fucking weird places, weird clubs and shit, fucking weird people. And even if those people were kind of looked normal on the surface, fucking they did weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it was another time. And this movie does kind of address that time.
Yeah, it really like it does a good job of like capturing
that
like an era for me, you know what I mean? Even though I was a little bit older.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the thing. Yeah, so...
You know, I was pushing 30 at the time that this thing came out. I was probably about 27.
No. Yeah, well, wait a minute.
No. That would have been 31.
Yeah.
If it came out in 2001, I don't think it did. I think it came out in 99. I remembered it being 99.
Everywhere I looked said 2001.
Maybe I had knew that it was coming out in 99.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, my ex told me about it. And how she knew the guy who... that character was based on, or at least partially based on, is back in the day in the pre-internet era, goths would have these damn, these fucking friend rings. It was like a damn ring. and you put your card on it, and you put picture and your name, your address, and maybe on the back side, you know, photographs yourself or just your interests or whatever, and you put it on that ring. And you'd send it to somebody, and they'd put it on their ring, and you'd send it around, and people could get each other's addresses and pictures, and you could make pen pals that way.
Yeah.
That's how my first wife met him, on one of those friend rings. That's gone now. It was replaced by the internet, but that was pre-internet shit. And that's also how you found fucking fanzines. They were doing kind of the same thing. People would use rapidographs to make their own private magazine with goth stuff in it, photographs. Some of the shit was fucking wild, man. It was like porn on it. You know, girls taking pictures of themselves or fucking making out with other chicks.
And now everybody does that.
What's that?
Now everybody does that.
Now everybody does that. But it was real. It was rapidographs. It was real low res.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really see exactly what was going on. You weren't sure if they were faking it or not. And then they would print up a bunch of copies of those at a fucking office. You could own your they probably did it at their house or whatever, and make 100 copies and send it out to people. And then they would trade them off. Although those were kind of like dying out by the time I think by the time fucking like 95, 96, I started seeing less and less of those. Because then you had like Propaganda Magazine and shit was picking up the slack.
Yeah.
Real magazines starting to appear.
But yeah, so this is, like I said, it's kind of like a road trip movie in the sense that they're going to New York to this Night of a Thousand Stevies thing. Because Gypsy, who is 25, she, you know, she wants to be a rock star, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, and she sings really good. I think that's really her singing in the movie. And, like, her mom was a singer and ran off to New York City and, you know, left her and her dad behind. Her dad's also a musician. So she kind of wants to follow in the footsteps. And her mom is also supposedly, like, involved in this Stevie Nicks festival, too, that she's going to. So at first she's thinking that she's going to maybe, like, reconnect with her mom or whatever. So that's like another thing. And I guess like Clive is just kind of going along because he doesn't want to be in fucking Sandusky, Ohio anymore, which I'm pretty sure they shot this in Pennsylvania, but it's supposed to be like Ohio. Like, I don't even know if Sandusky, Ohio is a real place. It might be.
I wouldn't know.
It might be fictional. I've never been to Ohio my whole entire life. But yeah, I was laughing because it's kind of like a coming of age story too, because I feel like, you know, they have a lot of discussions about Clive, and he's only 18, he's still in high school, and he's kind of, like, going off on it. He's like, yeah, he's pretty sure he's gay, I mean, you know, but he's also maybe thinking maybe he's asexual, because he thinks sex is gross or whatever, but then, like, when he hooks up with that frat boy in the bathroom, like, he's like, oh, okay, maybe it's not so bad, but the whole thing, too.
She was hoping that she'd fucking get him, too, I think for a while. She was in love with him. I think she was in love with Clive.
No,
She was mad when he hooked up with that dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think that she didn't want there to be anything in the way of their friendship. Well, because he offered to have sex with her, like, just as an experiment, and she's like, nah, thanks. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like that. But,
that's not how you do it.
I know, but they did kind of, like, joke about it, and she was just like, no, I don't want to do that. But I do kind of feel like it's a lot of this movie is, like, her journey of, like, finding her self-confidence, right? And it's like, here's another thing, is that a lot of the movie, she gets picked on a lot for being, quote-unquote, fat, which she's not fat. She has real big boobs, and she has, like, kind of a round, chubby-ish kind of face, kind of like I have. But she's not fat, though.
No, she wouldn't be considered fat today.
No.
Today, she would be considered kind of like thick. Or some would say like big fine.
Yeah, more thick than fat. Yeah. And just like minor thick.
But in the 90s, in the goth scene, they would have considered her to be overweight, kind of. Because the ideal in the 90s was to be fucking super skinny. Super skinny.
Yeah,
those are the girls that were getting all the attention.
Yeah, the ones that were like little fucking sticks.
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of like in the mainstream.
Heroin chic look.
Yeah, that was very big in the mainstream modeling world, too.
Right. So they didn't really address the drugs. There were drugs in there were drugs in a lot of the scenes too, and it was weird once, you know. Again, when I started showing up, heroin was on its way out, but it had been there for a long time, And they were dying from it, some of them. But they were the older ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had some friends that were just addicted to that shit. It just, you know, it, pretty much they all died eventually. It was a fucking... And it was kind of like a holdover from the 80s, too, you know?
Yeah, because that was just,
they were doing it for a long time. But then that kind of went out, and it was became... hallucinogens and alcohol, you know? Not really a big weed crowd.
Yeah, not really. Mm-mm. I kind of feel like it's more... a lot of people smoke weed now.
Yeah.
In the goth scene and stuff, but I feel like that wasn't really... the drug of choice, I feel.
No, they like hallucinogens.
Yeah.
Or cocaine.
I kind of feel like that was a bigger thing. Yeah. But...
and then some of the trashier ones later on, this is like when we were in the South, by the time I was down in New Orleans, a lot of the ones that were into industrial and shit were also starting to fucking with meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they fucked them up too. They weren't around very long, though. They went off down fucking meth alley. So, it didn't really quite address that. I guess that probably wasn't in every scene either. I mean, that wasn't in every
club scene.
It was in certain ones, it was like that.
The thing about it was that, I mean, this movie is mostly focusing on these two characters who are presumably the only two goth people in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah.
So there's not really a scene per se.
Yeah, so they didn't really have drug problems or weren't being confronted with it in big club scenes.
Right.
That was a big obstacle for some people. They couldn't pass the drug problem thing.
Yeah.
They would just get sucked off down that direction. You never see them again. It was almost kind of like they were killed. They weren't, though. They just became drug addicts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tammy said, yes, there is a Sandusky, Ohio.
Yeah, is that
they
right?
are famous for the Cedar Point Amusement Park. I've actually heard of that. And then Phantom said, yeah, she's got some tiggle bitties in the video photo you put up. Yeah, she does have very, very, but she shows them in the movie, too. Like, one time.
She's stacked.
I was like, yeah, she does have very large boobs. And then Tammy said, Sarah Rue, who's the actress that plays her, has always played the chubby girl. Yeah, I heard. Wasn't she a spokesperson for Weight Watchers or something, like later on, maybe? I thought I heard. I don't know if it was Weight Watchers, but it was something like that. Or Jenny Craig or something like that. But yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about... Here's one of the things, it's the little things, I think, that I liked about this movie. I love that, you know, there's scenes of the two of them, like, hanging out in Ohio, like, in cemeteries and stuff, as one did back in the day when you didn't have anywhere to go. And they're like, dressed to the nines, man. She's got, like, the gown and the corset and, like, the big stacked, like, high-heeled boots that I remember some people having, like, back in the 90s, those boots. And I love that when she's walking around in the grass, she's all, like, walking around like that.
Ankles constantly buckling.
Ankles, like, constantly buckling like that. And I'm like, oh, I felt that so hard.
Yeah.
I felt that so hard. And then, like, a lot of times, too, like, she's, you know, kind of fallen down, like, when she's on stage and all this other kind of stuff. Because she's trying to get past her stage fright also, because that's another thing. She wants to be a rock star, but she gets up at this fucking... honky-tonk with these ridiculous... Oh, my God. This one woman that's in this... She looks like somebody from Eustis, where we're from, to be honest. Like, if I went in the Oasis and saw this woman, I wouldn't bat an eyelid. But the woman had this mullet.
Yeah.
I don't even... Man, it's a mullet. I mean, big time. And then she had, like, these big, baggy, acid wash jeans.
Yeah.
And then, like, high-heeled white sandals.
Yeah. And they weren't. That wasn't the South either.
No, that was Midwest.
People forget that in the Midwest and, you know, up north, they got rednecks too.
Yeah,
they call them hillbillies, but they're that same kind of look. You know, that the same fashion faux pas.
Yeah, that's far beyond a faux pas, seriously.
They don't know any better.
I guess not.
Fucked up hair. I don't think it's as bad as it used to be.
I would hope not.
But hair would be all fucked up.
But it was just funny, like, during just that scene bleached, when they go...
Bleached so much, it's just, like, crispy and yellow, feathered fucking
it's
hair.
It's just, like, all curly in the front.
Yeah,
it's just like,
oh,
like,
man.
This woman.
Like a mushroom on top.
I was like,
head.
I wonder what she looks like in real life. Like, I hope she doesn't really look like that.
Terrible.
I was like, but she looks like somebody from around here, like, that you'd see at the Dollar General.
Fucking, yeah, fucking... what do they call them? Fucking... jean jackets with fringe and shit.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
But that was, yeah, so they go in this place. I guess they just, I don't know, I don't remember, like, why exactly they went in this place. Maybe they were just hungry or they were like, ooh, karaoke, and they didn't really think about what the crowd in there was going to be like. Because they go in there and, like, fucking whatever that song is, that autograph song is playing, and everybody looks like, you know, Jethro. Yeah. And, like, and Clive makes her get up and do fucking karaoke. This is the part that has Karen Black in it. I had forgotten that not only that Karen Black was in this, but that she was in it for such a long time. Because she's kind of like the master of ceremonies of this karaoke thing. But she comes out and does a song, and she's, I don't think it's really her singing, but it's this really cool, like, loungy kind of stuff. And then she kind of befriends the two of them. And they go back to her house, and she talks to them and stuff, and she kind of
lies.
Feeds them a line about how she used to be, like, real famous and stuff like that. But then,
she,
like,
had a hit and everything.
But then, like, Gypsy's, like, going to the bathroom and, like, poking around in there and, like, finds, like, all these records, like, of hers.
She had cases and cases of a single record.
That, right.
That she had, so that they didn't all sell.
they're just in her house.
They were, like,
still.
Collection notices that all the furniture in there was rented, and they were trying to repossess it.
Right.
And, you know... So she'd never had any kind of hit.
And that kind of made Gypsy want to go back home, because she's like, I don't want to end up like a sad has-been like this lady. Yeah. Or actually, a never was. She was not even a has-been.
They asked her to go with them and shit. They were going to...
They were going to take her with them.
Yeah. She was going to go, too.
When they... Yeah, she was like packing all her stuff and everything. But then...
Yeah, Gypsy changed her mind. Just left.
But then when Gypsy found out about that, she was like, yeah, fuck that bitch. And she left. I still felt really bad for her, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know... She probably would have had a good... Because Clive is all... They were thinking that she used to be famous.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, we're going to take you to New York City and we're going to do like a revival tour or something like that.
It was, but
it's like, it turns out... Yeah, it turns out she was never famous. But like I said, I really, really like Karen Black in this, and I had totally forgotten that she was in this movie, and it just made me happy when she showed up.
It was just a cautionary tale that some girls fucking had a lot of talent but never made it as famous, and they just fucking tried to live off the old... fantasy, the old pipe dream that never happened. She was over the hill and still had hope that maybe she could do something, but no, if it doesn't really happen when you're young, it's not gonna happen when you're old.
I mean, probably not. No. It is probably not that kind of thing. Like,
she could do a number at a lounge, but she'd never be famous. She'd never have a hit.
Zach says, up here, our hick women usually weigh 300 pounds, wear booty short jeans, and a tank top with bra strap falling out, no makeup, and have a sunburn.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's similar. Like, you see ones like that down here, too. Yeah. But it's like that, the one lady that's in this fucking honky-tonk scene down here, I was just like, that's out of control. But I have seen people that look like that. Every time I see people that look like that, I always remember that, what was that episode of Kitchen Nightmares? Where he went to that restaurant
and
fucking
had cockatiel hair.
Yeah, in Michigan.
Exactly. In Michigan.
I think it was in Michigan.
Yeah.
And everybody in there.
Sophie's listening, she knows.
Everybody in there looked like this lady. Like everybody had acid wash on and crispy big hair that didn't move, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's like fucking 1985 all over again."
And fucking Michigan is like the America's version of Siberia. I mean, that's fucking ice cold up near fucking Canada.
That's
and
still,
man, they look like rejects from the South. That's how redneck they look.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Like, the South wouldn't have them. Here's funny is that they're not even in a rural area, really.
That's what's crazy to me. I'm just like, that whole episode, and it's that episode's, like, old now, but it's like, I periodically rewatch it because I just can't believe... The crimes against humanity, like all the fashion.
She was a fucking throwback to like 20 years prior. Maybe 25, 30.
Even longer,
Yeah.
I mean, I remember people looking like that like in the early 80s.
Fake yellow tan and shit. Orange tan.
And that like weird pink lipstick and that frosty blue eyeshadow. Yeah. And oh my God. Yeah. I always hated that look. I kind of feel like that was a thing for 5 minutes where... You went and got in the tanning booth and cooked yourself to fine Corinthian leather.
Yeah.
And then like you just had this white blonde, crunchy, super bleached hair, super damaged.
Yeah.
And like pink lip gloss.
She's trying to make it on a fucking Bon Jovi fucking video or some shit like that.
I have never seen that look good on a single person. No. I really haven't. It just doesn't look good on anybody. I don't care how hot you are. It just does not look good on anybody. Terrible. It's terrible.
And it had a slightly heavy metal overtone.
Yeah.
It was like...
It definitely was.
Yeah, those chicks were listening to fucking Bon Jovi and Winger and shit like that.
Which isn't even heavy metal.
Not even.
No, not by a long shot.
That was girl heavy metal.
That was girl heavy metal.
They were listening to fucking Cinderella. Remember them?
Yeah.
Cinderella.
When I was in junior high, the kind of like the two, I guess, youth cliques or whatever, sorry, were the new wave kids, of which I was one, and then the heavy metal kids. Who were listening to that crap like Cinderella and stuff. But yeah, so like I said, I kind of feel like this movie is not all that well known. Like I said, I found two reviews of it, and both of the channels were tiny, tiny channels that were talking about it.
Yeah.
So I've heard other goth people of our age and maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger, like talking about it because it was kind of a big thing at the time.
It didn't get the promotion.
It really didn't. I don't really know how much it costs to make. It's a pretty low budget.
Yeah, it's a little indie clip.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if it had a theatrical release. It probably didn't. Probably went direct to DVD or VHS maybe in 2001.
Yeah.
They probably tried to sell it through, music magazines probably. Probably where they tried to market it. I don't know anything about the movie.
I don't even remember how I ended up hearing about it.
I remember seeing it for sale, too.
I guess like a lot of people...
Like in catalogs.
...talked about it. Like, yeah. I guess I must have heard about it from somebody.
Yeah.
But Zach says, my dad's ex-wife was a bleach blonde with a leather tan, just like you described. Yeah. And of course her name was Nancy, because what else would a woman like that be called? Yeah.
Heather.
I mean, yeah, Heather is maybe a good one. But should we say, like, okay, so...
Tammy, yeah.
Tammy is the name that I usually associate. Yeah. Sorry, Tammy, with an IE. Yeah, it's usually Tammy with a Y that I associate with that look. But, or Sherry. Mm-hmm. Although I know a girl named Sherry in school and she don't look anything like that. But this is on Tubi. I think you can also rent it on Amazon Prime, but it's on Tubi for free. It's on Roku for free. Like I said, I think you'll get a lot more out of it if you're into the same kind of shit as we are, because there's like good music in it and you could probably relate to it more. But it's still like a good, just a fun little coming of age road trip movie. And I think like the two main characters really carry the whole movie. I mean, if it wasn't, the two of them are just so good together and they just have such great chemistry together. That it's just, like, fun to watch them. And, you know, all of the little adventures that they get into, all the jocks picking on them and, and shit like that. And meeting Karen Black and having sex with the Amish guy. And
Gypsy working at the photo mat. Remember
right.
Little photo mats?
Yes, she worked at the photo mat.
Little photo mat and her friends and her, the mean girls went to high school with her says, I thought you were going to be famous. What are you still doing here? That kind of shit.
Right. I'm like, bitch, she's only 25. Calm down. Yeah, she was only 25. But, so we watched it on Tubi last night. And after it was over, the next movie, because if you have Tubi, like, it'll just be like, hey, here's another movie like that one, and it'll just go ahead and play it. So the next movie that it played after this one was a 2018 movie, which was called My Summer as a Goth.
Yeah. It turned out I knew people involved with that one, too.
And I'm sitting there going... This is either going to be funny or it's going to be a total shit show.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, the reason I wasn't going to watch it, but then, like, I saw the opening credits, and like you said, I saw Cambriel, who, if you're a goth of a certain age, like we are, everybody knew who Cambriel was. She makes clothes. She has her own company. And she advertised in all the magazines and stuff, and most people that could afford it, like, had a piece of her clothing, so she was quite famous.
She did the costumes in this one.
Yeah, so I was like,
in it.
She might have been. Although I was kind of looking for her, but I wasn't looking that hard.
There was an author, Jenny recognized a gothic author, was in it, too. It looked like that this may have been, had something to do with around Salem or Boston, Massachusetts areas, probably where it came from. Because those people were involved out of the Boston scene. So it might have been filmed up around there.
I'm probably thinking, because I didn't really do any research on that, because I was just, I'm watching it and being like, I don't know if this is going to be any, it actually it ended up.
A weird mixture of weird and okay.
Yeah, it was like some of it I didn't love.
I don't know why the grandparents were involved in it, you know, but.
I figured they probably just put some money into the thing. What I was going to, I forgot to mention, we were talking about Gypsy 83, was that when they finally get to New York, like to the goth club, and they walk in there and they're like, oh my God, like look at all the freaks and stuff, and they feel like all at home and everything. But then there's a scene, and this kind of bothered me, because there's a scene where Clive, who, like I said, is only 18, and he's from the middle of nowhere, and he's talking to these, like, quote, much cooler, like, goth dudes that are, like, super cute and everything, and they kind of gatekeep a little bit about their, because they're talking about Poppy Z, which, like I said, most goths didn't know who that was, Poppy Z Bright, an author. And one of them saying something like, oh, Lost Souls was so awesome and stuff. And then Clive says something like, oh, yeah, that's a great album. And then, like, all the other guys are like, poser, you know what I mean? And it was just kind of like, that's a little over the top. I'm not saying that some guys weren't, and especially back in this day, that they weren't, like, super snotty like that. And, like, if you didn't know your shit.
Yeah, she's an author. She's a band.
Yeah. They wouldn't, like, look down their nose at you like that. At least not to your face. They might talk about you behind your back.
I think the element you might be missing, though, is that those three guys were gay.
Ooh.
And the one guy sweet on him.
Yeah.
And they were jealous, so they were trying to... That's what that was.
I guess that's
what they were trying to cockblock, basically.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. Because the other guy that was kind of into him was kind of like defending him, being like, hey, y'all.
They're just picking on you because I like you.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, that's all it was.
But I was just like, I don't really know. I never had that happen where somebody like tried to like trick me like that. They didn't try to trick him. It was just that he didn't know who Poppy Z Bright was. Which is pretty lame for a goth at that time not to have known who Poppy Z Bright was, because everybody knew who Poppy Z Bright was.
Yeah. He was a real scenester, though. That character was real. He just should have said, who is this? You know, I've heard of her. Yeah. I don't know.
Or just kind of not. Yeah. Thank you very much, Aaron. Very, very nice of you. Your interwebs are back. Missed you. Yeah. It was pretty much all weekend we had no internet. It was pretty sucky.
It was gone for like 2 days.
Yeah, we didn't get it back. It went away at Friday, like at 5 p.m., and we didn't get it back until like Sunday at like 9 or 10 in the morning.
There was a fire out in the woods.
Yeah.
Up in upstate.
In Tavares.
It was in Tavares. And it knocked out the internet for a lot of people around here.
It burned through the fiber optic.
Cables.
That's what they told us anyway.
It took them a couple days to fix it.
So.
And it's going to go out again, remember? This is a temporary.
They said that they might have to. That it might have to go out again when they put like the permanent shit in there because it's just fixed. But I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. Case and Lee said, I've only watched documentaries on Tubi. Are there any good and non-cheesy movies on it?
Yeah.
Tubi is actually... Yeah. A lot of horror fans really, really like Tubi because there's a lot...
Classic stuff.
Of classic horror movies and stuff like that. The only thing that I don't like about Tubi is that their search function... Or they don't have anything, like, categorized all that well. Like, it's hard to find stuff. So, like, even in the horror thing, like, you have to just kind of scroll through, like, a bajillion probably crappy we made it for $5 movies to find. But there's, like, really, really good ones in there. I think they need better classification. But, you know, it's a free site. What are you going to do? You can't, like, complain about it. And honestly, if you know what you're looking for, it's much easier. But it's hard to find something when you're just kind of scrolling through looking for something because it's like, you know, 50,000 shitty movies and then there's like, you know, five or six good ones like toward the end. But I usually kind of go to, there's a lot of horror channels that I watch on YouTube where every now and then they'll be like, oh, you know, the 10 best horror movies on Tubi right now and the 10 best horror movies on whatever streaming service. So it's good to do that so you can have somebody kind of curate it for you because I will admit there is a lot of shit on Tubi. But there's a really lot of good stuff on there too. It's just hard to, you know, it's just hard to find the good shit when there's so much bad shit on there also. But yeah,
I guess it also depends on your point of view. I was listening to some other guys from World Class Bullshitters. They're all a lot of them have children now, you know what I mean? And they say that they'll ask around younger people, like Gen Z, if it, and from their point of view, if something is older than 12 years old, then it's shit. They don't want to watch it. They only want to watch shit that's brand new. So, but I don't know. Fucking, that may just be the super mainstream people.
Yeah.
Older movies are fucking good. Yeah, some younger people are starting to realize that a lot of those older movies were better. You know, they didn't quite look like a new movie, but the storytelling's better. Like The Thing and Predator yeah. 1 and Terminator 1. It was just real elemental, honest kind of storytelling. Now, when it comes to goth movies, really there aren't any good ones. This, Gypsy 83, probably the best one.
It's the most accurate. Like, yeah. I feel like this is the most realistic yeah. and the closest to what it was actually like.
Yeah, and it also kind of has more of a naturalistic feel to it, kind of an artistic feel. The other one, My Summer as a Goth, is not a bad movie. It has a good message, but it's more like a youth movie. It's something you're going to show to, like, a teenager, you know, 12 to 14, you know, to get them kind of... To teach them some lessons about subcultures, that you can go to a subculture that's cool, but that doesn't make you cool. They got assholes in there.
Yeah.
Your friends are people who are your friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They may or may not be in that scene. That's what it talks about, that, you know.
The only thing I didn't really love about yeah. My Summer as a Goth
yeah.
was, and I kind of feel like this is maybe something that I can point to for, like, a lot of movies, like newer movies that are about the goth subculture, because I do kind of feel like there's a large segment of goth subculture nowadays that's just fashion. Like, it doesn't yeah. have anything to do with the music. Like, the people don't even, like, listen to goth music or
they
anything.
They don't even know there is goth music.
Which I think is really stupid, because yeah. the whole... I mean, the subculture is a music subculture. It's like, you right. know...
But what happened was is the Instagram girls happened.
Yeah, that's... So yeah.
They just get famous by clicks, shaking booty, having a look, selling stuff off OnlyFans or whatever. And some of those girls look fantastic. They can, but when they dance, that's not the way a goth girl dances.
Yeah.
That's a girl dancing for clicks. She might even have goth-looking tattoos.
Right.
But she saw other Instagram girls with that. She's just trying to pick up a motif. That's the way the Japanese would did stuff. You had people that were in Japan that looked like goths. They couldn't tell you anything about the goth scene or the culture.
Or music or anything.
Or the music or anything. They were, or the music they listened to was more like metal, and it was like Japanese metal. And it had, and then they couldn't tell you anything about the history of it, or they wouldn't know who Peter Murphy was or who Bauhaus was. They couldn't tell you who Susie was. They don't know where any of those looks came from. To them, it was just purely a fashion trend.
Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of a problem.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
And I think that's gotten worse now because of Instagram and TikTok.
The thing is that, like, old veterans like me and Jen, when I see an Instagram girl who fucking knocks it out of the park, you know she knows the culture by what she's wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some of them you can just immediately tell. Because they're going, oh, she's taking it back to, you know, fucking 82. This is death rock here, you know. Fucking, this is, you know. She's been listening to Specimen, you know. Oh, look, she's got a Sisters of Mercy tattoo, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just shit like that, you know. So you sometimes you know. Some looks just can't really accurately be faked because there's kind of like an encoded messages in there.
Yeah.
That goths see. We're like, oh, I know where she got that, you know.
Right, yeah.
Just that kind of stuff.
Phantom says, is the soundtrack good in this film? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, here's the weird thing, though. Like, even though literally the whole point of the travel, of the trip in Gypsy 83 is to go to a Stevie Nicks festival, there is, like, no Stevie Nicks music in this.
Now,
at one point, Gypsy, the character, she does a karaoke version of Talk to Me, right?
Yeah.
But I think that they only let them get away with that because I don't think Stevie Nicks wrote that song, even though she's kind of famous for performing it. Stevie Nicks would not allow her music to be used in the movie. Hmm. Now, there is a Diva Destruction cover of a Stevie Nicks song, but I can't remember which one it is. That's in there. But they wouldn't let her, they wouldn't let the movie use any of her music, which I thought was a little...
They probably didn't know if the movie was going to be any good.
Yeah, maybe not. Because I was like, literally the whole point of the movie is, like, there is she's, like, a super fan, like a Stevie Nicks super fan, and she's going to go, like, sing some Stevie Nicks songs, and I was like, it's a little weird. Like I said, she does, like, do a karaoke version of one of her songs, but she did get away with that, but they didn't use any of her actual songs in there. But yeah, the soundtrack's pretty good. It's kind of, there's a couple Cure songs, like I said. Yeah. Like, but kind of the more mainstreamy ones. They didn't use any obscure Cure stuff. Like I said, there's Diva Destruction was in there. What do you call it? A-pop.
Having Midnight Picnics in the Cemetery.
I know, I love it.
The cemetery staff tell them they shouldn't be doing this. Just fucking funny shit. You could not, here's the thing, though. You could not have a Midnight Picnic in a cemetery. You couldn't, they were closed after
You'll get
after
big hours. Trouble.
Yeah, you'd get, usually the caretakers lived on premises, so they'd know you. They'd know if you were out there, and you'd get hit for trespassing.
I mean, especially not setting up all the bunch of candles like they did.
Yeah, setting up candles and shit.
I mean, it'd be different if it was like an abandoned one. I guess
they kind of kept an eye out for that. You know, they didn't want people hanging out in the cemetery at night doing spooky shit.
That I tell you what, though,
like, go in the day though, take pictures. We used to go picture and do photo shoots.
Yeah, we did too. Like, I feel like all goths probably did that. But one thing I did kind of relate to was that. After they were kind of hanging out in the cemetery, and then they came in and they were hanging out in the church, like talking. And the lady, I guess she was either the wife of the caretaker or the other caretaker, and came over and was like getting all up in their shit about. And basically, didn't the old lady say something to Gypsy, like, you'd be so pretty if you didn't like wear all that stuff, or if you didn't something.
Yeah, if you wear something a little more appropriate to your size.
Or some shit like that. And I'm just like,
called her fat.
Oh my God. I was like, well, I kind of felt that because not so much fat, but and I kind of feel like anybody was a goth back in the day, especially if you're a girl, you're always going to get like these busybody old ladies. You'd be so pretty if you didn't have blue hair or if you took all that eyeliner off or if
you didn't have
like
a piece of your hair shaved out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'm just kind of like, I didn't do it for you, bitch. Yeah. Like, what? You know what I mean? So it's just kind
of
like.
We had our own sense of what looked good. And it did look good.
I thought it looked good.
Just other people didn't have that same.
That's a them problem, not a me problem. Yeah. So I'm just saying. But it's just, I would never in a million years go up to a random ass person that I didn't know and tell them, it's like, well, you'd look much better if you looked more like a goth. Why the fuck would I do that? That's like so rude.
Well, they felt they could because they had numbers. So therefore they saw themselves as the standard. You know what I mean? That,
like,
I'm regular. You're not regular.
I'm regular.
Yeah, I'm a regular person.
Good for you.
I was supposed to be able to tell you what to do because you're doing it wrong.
What I mean. It's so narcissistic.
Yeah. Like, well, we're doing it wrong on purpose because we have our own way of doing it.
Yeah, and like, what is wrong anyway?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I never. And that's like, I was just like, I could really relate to that because I was like, oh my God, so many times.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's funny because had we been another race, had we been like Native American, they would have said shit. It's because we were white kids.
Yeah.
We know how white kids are supposed to look. Fucking Native Americans probably would have, back in the 1800s, probably would have fucking loved the looks because they shaved pieces of their hair off and had things like mohawks. The mohawk haircut came from them.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, they color their hair and fucking weave things into it and mix and match things with clothes, you know. White man's clothes mixed with fucking buckskin and shit. They had a good look. You know, a lot of the shit that I saw, the drawings of the way they look, a lot of that shit looked kind of goth or kind of punk rock.
Yeah.
You know, so Indians would have understood it.
I don't know, man. I always felt like regular people were just jealous, man.
I don't think so. They weren't jealous. They weren't creative enough to kind of put, they couldn't relate. They didn't have strategic empathy.
Like I said, I don't
see things the way we saw things.
I don't go up to motherfuckers wearing baggy ass cargo shorts and Crocs and tell them how to live. So, like, why do they think they can do that? I think they look like crap, but I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna keep that to myself. Although I just said it.
Yeah, we have all kinds of opinions about way regular people dress. We don't say anything.
But like I said, why would I? It's none of my fucking business.
There's some shit.
I'm not them.
There's some shit y'all wear that I was just like, no, man. There was some shit they were wearing back then in the 90s that would drive me up the fucking wall. Maybe, and you know, we looked good. From our point of view, you know, we looked good. And you'd see these chicks wearing mom jeans.
Oh my God.
Mom jeans would drive me up the fucking wall.
Make everyone's ass like, look flat.
How that, yeah, flat ass into the front look like a kangaroo pouch.
It does look like a kangaroo. And shit. Yeah.
And I was like, how could that be somebody's mom? Who would fuck that? Look at this fucking, how terrible that looks, man. You know, just not sexy at all.
Really not flattering on anybody.
Yeah, there was no excuse because things like fucking low-rise hip huggers and fucking bell bottoms existed by then. Those look good. Yeah. You put those on, you're going to get laid. You put on mom jeans, no.
Maybe they don't want to get laid. That's maybe like they're trying to keep everyone... Viagra. They're trying to keep everybody away.
Yeah. Viagra was invented because of mom jeans. That's what it was.
Because they needed it.
Yeah. That shit came out and all of a sudden they had a phone with some. Yeah.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
That's the fucking worst, man.
They do look terrible. I've never seen a single person look good in
those. And they had those fucking... Another things that they wear back when the girls would wear those fucking shorts that looked like slacks that fucking ended at the knee.
Oh, like those like, culottes or whatever they call them?
Yeah, and then they would like fold up one and it was like... it would like a poof to them. They would look poofy.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those.
They were like poofy and they were usually white. And they were just... They didn't wear those fucking... Docksider fucking shoes. That was the 80s, remember? Yeah. Late 80s, they had that shit.
Oh, God, those were so terrible. Ugly. So ugly. Yeah. But like I said, people, if they want to look like that...
We weren't saying anything.
Okay.
Though. We weren't saying anything.
I mean, we were talking about them behind their back, for sure. But I'm not going to go up to their face and say nothing, because it's rude. So I don't, like, understand where people get off, like, going and telling other people, like, how they need to dress.
If you're wearing Crocs, flip-flops, or any kind of sandals... It's just fucked up. I can kind of understand Crocs maybe if you're working in a kitchen or something somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's all context, everywhere. Obviously. Yeah, and, like, know. I don't care about flip-flops if you're on the beach or some shit like that. Obviously, that's fine.
But just some of that shit people
But wear. Let's go out to, like, a nightclub, like, out in the town, and let's wear some fucking flip-flops. Yeah. Piss off with that.
Piss off with that.
Yeah. It's not real safe, either. Mm. And it's not really all that sanitary.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at your gross-ass feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I also can't understand why these brothers are spending fucking $300, $400, $500 for a pair of sneakers. And they're like Air Jordans and shit. And I'm looking at those things and they just, the heels look ridiculous. Like, you couldn't give me those.
Yeah, I don't
First thing I do is I sell them to a brother. Try to get that cha-ching. And they're, no. That same amount of money, you could get a pair of New Rocks that'll last 40 fucking years.
Or longer.
Yeah.
I'm never a fan. I don't like any kind of tennis shoes. It was always kind of like a big
no tennis shoe
ordeal. Yeah. Like when you're in school and you have to get a pair like for gym or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, they're all so ugly. Yeah, what am I gonna do? Like, I just have to get like these plain black, and they were all so poofy, and I'm just like, ugh. I'm like, can I just run in my bare feet?
Yeah.
I hated them so much.
Leather boots and shit.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. So that kind of struck a chord with me, I guess, because, you know, I've had shit, not so much now, because people know what it is, but back in the 80s and 90s, you'd get those kind of comments all the time. And not just from, like, kind of just asshole-y jock people or, like, mean girl type chicks or whatever, but, for, like I said, like, from busybody old ladies.
Yeah.
They think they're, like, helping you, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? You'd be so pretty if you took all that shit off your face. I remember, like, all that kind of crap. I'm just like, you'd be a lot prettier with your fucking mouth shut, too.
Go ahead. So. What are they saying? What the comments say?
Phantom says, Tom, we need some Grand Marquis upgrade photos.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just did the chrome door bumpers. I did them today. They're okay. I'm fucking real stickler about if something's straight or not. And it might take me a couple days to figure out if that shit's actually straight. I popped the line and tried to make them straight, but I need a straight edge. I'm going to go in there and fix that, just make sure that there's things don't wave at all. And then the way I cut them on the end, I'm not really perfectly satisfied with the angles that I got there. I might pull those bumpers off all together. In the rear door, there's a hole in it that goes to a little socket inside the outside of the door. And for some reason the Ford's, the rear doors on Ford Panther bodies had a hole in it. Had to do with the robot that installed the door and hung it. Thinking about pulling the door frame off, or the inner door panels off, and maybe like JB welding a metal plate back there behind that door and filling it up full of body filler and sanding it flat and just spray painting it all one color. That way there's no door bumper at all. That might look good. Because I got the paint. I did rattle can. I could get it to match. I'll just fucking sand that shit with fucking 2000 grit till it just blends right in.
I mean, you haven't been working on the car that much lately because you've been sick for like a long time.
Went down there and it only took me about 20 minutes to hang the bumpers. Because it used to have the big full-size bumpers that they were started to deteriorate. And I just went to the aftermarket ones that were a lot cheaper. I'm not going to spend $300 in rubber door bumpers.
Yeah, don't do that.
Fuck that.
Phantom says, love that wig hairstyle, Jenny. Looks hella good. Thank you very much.
It looks better on screen than it does actually when I first saw it. Because it looks blue on screen.
Yeah.
With my eyes under this lighting, it actually just looks kind of white.
No, it's like ice blue is what it is. I guess that's what you want to call that color. But yeah. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
No, that's about it.
Because I don't feel too bad, but I woke up this morning and I was kind of like, oh, no.
I'm worn out, man.
I got this crap, too.
Yeah.
But I feel actually better than I did this morning. And I'm not on any. I took, like, some antihistamines early this morning because my nose was running. But I didn't take anything else all day. Do you have any cold medicine left? Didn't we get
some? Yeah, I got cold medicine. I didn't take any.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I might take some later just so I can sleep without.
I've been sick of being on fucking cold medicine. Trying to come off of it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you've got to be on the downside of it now.
Yeah.
But, you know,
oh, yeah, I'll be better tomorrow.
Yeah, I would hope so. You seem a lot better today than you did.
I feel a lot better.
I mean, he's been sleeping for like just hours and hours every day because he's trying to get past it. You know what I mean? I'm kind of worn out too, but, you know, I got to work, so. So, glad we finally got our fucking internet back. And like I said, if this movie sounds at all interesting to you, it's on Tubi. Gypsy 83
free
and it's for free. Also My Summer as a Goth is on there too, which you might find amusing. I was expecting it to be a lot worse than it was, and I was like, that was actually not too bad.
It's okay. It just had some kind of corny shit in it.
It was kind of corny.
This one's a little more artistic.
This one is a little more real,
more realistic. Yeah.
Because like I said, it's very much like what I remember the scene being like in the 90s.
It's the way it felt at the time.
Yeah, so I think that's why a lot of people like really related to it at the time.
And like I said, this is the way it felt if you lived out in the middle of nowhere. Like, which I wasn't always living out in the middle of nowhere, but
after I
left Boston and went to Pass Christian, my ex-wife and all her friends in Pass Christian, Mississippi, on the Gulf Coast, that was the world they were in. It's kind of like what you see in Gypsy 83. They were, you know, and they would go to the French Quarter. That was like going to the big city.
Yeah.
Shit was dangerous as shit. But, so they knew both sides of it. They just put up with the country life.
Yeah, you have to live out in this fucking armpit where everybody is into the same shit as you.
And yeah. It was a nice place. It's just that you stick out. And people didn't, in the 90s, people did not understand.
They did not understand.
What the fuck was going on.
Like I said, now you don't really get, we don't. It's a lot different than it used to be. Like, back
Internet
in the old days,
everything.
They didn't get it, so it's like you really stuck out, and people would absolutely throw bottles at you and shit like that.
They wouldn't know what they were seeing.
So
Internet changed all that.
So, yeah, it's a lot different. It's much, much better. It's much easier to move through the world nowadays than it used to be back in the day. And so it was probably, like, harder. I kind of feel like maybe it was harder for dudes, because I had a friend in high school who kind of reminds me a little bit of Clive in this movie. He kind of had the eyeliner and the Robert Smith hair and everything like that, and he just got his ass beat.
Yeah, you thought you were gay, or they either thought you were gay.
Well, he was gay.
You thought you were gay, or you were some kind of Satanist.
Yeah.
And then, like, Marilyn Manson started coming out, and all of a sudden, that would really threw them off, because they couldn't tell the difference between you or Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, that was
so
really.
They thought you were just like some kind of sexual.
Thanks a lot, Brian Warner.
Yeah,
that
thanks,
was
Brian.
No help.
So they thought you were just kind of like sexually depraved.
No help.
Yeah, did you have any of your fucking ribs removed? You know, and so like, get the fuck out of here, man.
All I can remember, because like I said, I never got into Marilyn Manson. That's a little, you know, he is a little mainstreamy for me.
We get shit thrown at us fucking from cars.
Yeah.
Going by the Marilyn Manson.
If yeah.
A fucking they would do shit like that.
Yeah. The only thing I remember about Marilyn Manson is that I remember being at someone's house and they were watching one of the documentaries, I guess, about Marilyn Manson. Like, so it was like, it was backstage.
Yeah.
And I remember one of them, was it him or one of his band members? I don't remember. Like, taking a shit and then, like, picking it up with a fork.
Yeah, I don't know.
And eating it? Did he eat it?
It was probably faked.
I'm sure it probably was. Yeah, but I was like, okay, you're no Gigi Allen.
Almost everything about those guys was artificial.
Yeah, that was kind of the thing. I think that's kind of why
our friend knows him. He's annoyed us
so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from here.
He's from here. Our friend who's a DJ in local clubs here. They came up together. They grew up together.
So. Yeah, they hung out when they were kids.
Yeah, I heard all kinds of fucking Brian stories. Yeah. He's a good guy. He's just, you know.
Yeah, I don't think he's a shitty person, really. I mean, well.
He just caused a lot of trouble for us.
There are a lot of allegations that he was abusive toward his girlfriends, which.
He was high all the time, too.
Which I don't doubt that. But
had a serious drug problem.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, he really caused trouble for the scene, I feel like. I'm not begrudging the dude, like, making money or whatever, but he did kind of make it harder for the rest of us, so.
He was in general friendly from everything I told him, just that he caused us a hell of a fucking trouble.
He did, like I said. Yeah. So, alright, so like I said, this movie's on Tubi if you want to watch it. It's, I really liked it. I think it's really, it's not a horror movie, obviously, it's just kind of like a coming-of-age road trip type of movie. It's, I don't even want to call it a comedy, even though there's funny shit in it, but it's kind of like comedy drama, I guess. So, the show, Wednesday night, we're going to do another true crime, which, as you know, is my favorite, and we're going to be talking about, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, it's Edward, is it Paisnell or Paynell? I'm not really sure. Otherwise known as the Beast of Jersey. This dude, I've been wanting to do a show about this guy for a long time. Like, somebody recommended it a long time ago, and I'm just now getting around to it. This dude is a fucking freakazoid. So,
Beast of Jersey.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on Wednesday night show, so that should be a good one. So hopefully you guys can drop by for that, and hopefully we'll both be feeling better by that time. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by and hanging out with us this evening. We will see you guys again on Wednesday night. Good.